Thank you very much, Ovil. And it's, do you know what, it was actually very interesting to listen to your advice. You've nothing to apologise about. For those who don't know me, my name is Colm Kelleher. I'm the obviously we're here tonight to launch, the preliminary launch of the Twin Cities Poetry event here. Obviously via Zoom, because we can't do it in normal circumstances on account of the pandemic. But I met with some of the committee earlier today, and I took, which I think may actually be the first courtesy visit to the Lord Mayor's chambers virtually that was held. I may be open to correction on that. But
it's the second, actually.
It's the second. Okay, yeah. My apologies. It's the second virtual. It's first for me anyway. That's all I'll say. And it's very endearing. And I spoke of this this afternoon to see, you know, an event like this taking place, because I suppose from our perspective here in Cork. We're twinned with Cologne, we're twinned with Shanghai, we're twinned with San Francisco, and we're also twinned with Coventry. And the twinning with Coventry is one of the oldest. And more often than not, it's one that's actually forgotten. I'm a member of the International Committee on Cork City Council, or I was before I became Lord Mayor, and I will after I leave office. But we spoke about it today in our virtual visit to the Lord Mayor's chambers. Sometimes the proximity of Coventry and Cork, it's not very, you know, appealing to members of council or officials. Go, oh, I'll get the boat over to Coventry now, or I'll get the plane over to Cork. We're very close in proximity, geographically speaking. So traditionally, there may have been, I suppose, the onus to go, or we go to Shanghai, or we go to San Francisco, stuff like that. And it was mentioned at a meeting of the International Committee of Cork City Council, when actually it was my inaugural meeting of the International Committee of Cork City Council, where they listed the cities we were twinned with. And it was referenced to me at that meeting that the twinning between Cork and Coventry was one that was inactive. So when I saw this coming up on my calendar this evening, I was absolutely delighted to see that, you know, here we are, two very, you know, similar sized second cities, and we're engaging with each other. And obviously tonight through the medium of poetry. So it's an absolute honour to speak to you this evening. I know that there's about 20 of you present, where there was 42 that were involved in the 42 poets who've taken part in the Cork Coventry Twin Cities Poetry Exchange since 2008. And I was informed this afternoon that when it was initially launched in 2008, that it was it was 50 years to the date, to the year, since the twinning of Cork and Coventry. So that, I suppose, is proof of what I spoke about previously, of the long history of a link between our two cities. And, you know, it's something that I believe needs to be nurtured. We have we're far more in similarity to each other than we do, I suppose, between the likes of Coventry and Shanghai and or Cork and San Francisco or stuff like that. So it's absolutely brilliant to see it. The copy of book will be available and will be printed, which you all have now. And I'd especially like to thank Paul Casey and Rafe Boylan, a good Cork name, I might add. Boylan, you may disagree with me, but there's a member of council by the name of Damien Boylan. He might be of a different political party, but he's actually Irish, believe you me. He's a nice old fella, believe you me. But when I was presented with the book today, I suppose in my diary, every day I clock in the City Hall, the Eternal Lord Mayor, as I call her, which is Nicola O'Sullivan, my secretary, she presents me with my diary for the day. And I was presented with this book of an image of Christy Ring, an iconic hurler in Cork, obviously, and Lady Godiva. And when I questioned the statue of the female on the horse, bare-breasted on the horse, and I was informed that it was Lady Godiva. The first thing that popped into my head was that song by Queen. And I was blown away with it because I've often heard the name, but I never realized the relevance of it or where it actually came from. And I was educated today. My grandfather used to say to me, every day is a school day. So I learned something new today. But no, look, I'd obviously, you know, like to, I suppose, formally open it here. And I'd like to pay, you know, special courtesy and privilege to Ralph Boylan, good Cork name, as I said, Adam Steiner, Anthony Owen and John Morley, who have in turn been facilitating, you know, this event since 2008. And obviously, Rafe, you're in attendance here tonight. You're obviously pivotal to it. But I'd ask all members this evening to give them all a round of applause, because without them, we wouldn't be here at all this evening. And you wouldn't be listening to the murmurs of a local elected representative. So look, this is the 12th year of the Poetry Exchange between Cork and Coventry. It was initiated by O'Vale in 2008. It could not go ahead, obviously. But I suppose in the grand scheme of things, we're here for one reason, and that's to celebrate the workings of 42 poets who have made their way into the book here this evening. And, you know, I'm delighted to be here, and I'm delighted that we can have this collaboration between our two great cities, between Cork City and Coventry, which is the UK City of Culture in this year, 2021. But I would just like to say one thing, and I spoke about it in the meeting earlier. There's two quotes at the start of the book. One's by William Shakespeare.
Whoops, I think we have lost the Lord Mayor. Is that the same for everyone else? It is, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll just give him a minute to reconnect, hopefully. Because I know he's dying to tell us his story about the Janis Joplin quote in the book, I think. So we'll give him a sec there. Oh. Lord Mayor, can you hear us? No, he's gone, is he? He has. He'll be dialing back in now, I'd say, very shortly. So we'll just give him...
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello there. Hello, Lord Mayor.
My apologies. My internet just... I thought I was in full flow there, and I thought you were all being very, very quiet and listening to me. You know, I was obviously talking to a blank screen.
We lost you when you were mentioning the William Shakespeare quote.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I was... when I opened the book this evening, I got to see... and pass English in school. Poetry was not, it never ever tickled my fancy, if I'm to be honest with all of you. And I know I'm talking to a lot of poets here this evening, but there's two, I suppose, one-liners, one from William Shakespeare and one from Janis Joplin. And the one that really jumped out at me was Janis Joplin's one, start of the book. I believe the only people who truly experience and test the application of equality are twins, which I found very amusing, if I'm to be quite honest. So without further ado, and I suppose without me losing internet connection or waffling on, trying to impress a load of poets, I see about 20 odd in front of my screen, I'd like to formally open and preliminarily launch the Twin Cities Poetry event via Zoom in 2021. And I hope, by the blessings of God, that we will not be facilitating this over a virtual platform in 12 months' time.
I guess Milúna Margaret Hain Ardvera. Thank you very much indeed, Lord Mayor, for those excellent words. Superb to be able to contextualise our relationship, our ongoing relationship, which has gone from strength to strength. So we're moving on now to the exciting, if I may say, part of the evening, where our poets are going to read their pieces from the collection. Actually, 40 of the 42. Managed to get their poems in here, and we have about 12 or 13 of those, I think, here tonight. So we are going to keep it alphabetically as per first name as they appear in the book, just for the sake of simplicity. But when I call on you to read, you might just spend a couple of moments mentioning what year you were involved, if you remember, with whom you traveled, and any small memory that comes to mind from visiting your twin city. But of course, it's optional, so you can just read your poem if that's what you like to do.
If I may interrupt for a moment, please. I would like to extend to the Lord Mayor the greetings of the Mayor of South Euclid, Georgine Wheelow. I am her arts ambassador as well as her poet laureate.
I'm much obliged, and please send my blessings to her as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doc. Okay, if we're ready to blast off, our first reader this evening, it's great to see him again, I haven't seen him in ages, Ali Bracken.
Well, I'm the first, okay. So just to give, you mentioned Paul there about giving a few words on my experience with the exchange. And I did the exchange in 2018 with Michelle DeLay, who's also here, I noticed, with us tonight. And we had a really great time, I thought. If I can remember any particular memory, it doesn't actually involve any poetry, but we went on quite a long walk one night around Coventry, and it was really nice and enjoyable. I don't know if Michelle remembers that, but we just chatted and walked around and got to see an awful lot of the city. So it was a really enjoyable time. But the poem that is included in this anthology is called The Bridge of St. Patrick. We walked on her for many years, through culverts of text unfolded. Her faces faced the damp-kissed waters like words of the oft-time read. She lay and watched the whole place burning and watched it grow all over again. Sure, she nearly drowned. All the lads up on the hill said they had her in their prayers. The men in yellow vests came one day at a time. They took her down. Matthew said he saw her being put together again. They stopped one day. A ship rose from the deep stench of the lee. Brown waters drenched and tickled the reflecting light. It cut little rapids on the tall ship's wooden body, trying to get back to its brown-green home. Not one Corkonian believed Matthew when he said he was sure he won a glimpse of its name. Just a cod, they thought. No wonder they undid the knot of the bridge to allow room for herself through, they thought. She said he said the name, something along the lines of Theseus, and they laughed. Sure, no wonder we love you, Matthew. They said he was a rogue just like Mr. O'Connor. He's got more stories than sense. Sure, did he say once the smell of McCurtain Street was better than sex? All phrases found at that. Of course, he'd say that. He's got no taste. So that was the day they closed Patrick's Bridge. If you stand on our midpoint, look up at Shandon, or gaze down towards Brian Brew, you know you're at the centre of the universe, and everything beyond is just a rumour. Of course you do. You're from Cork, born and raised arrogant. The day they opened her up again, I didn't recognise her Jimmy, and I wondered why she had a man's name. Thank you.
Fabulous, Ali. Thank you so much for that. I can just picture myself on Patrick's Bridge right now. Although I never remember McCurtain Street smelling better than sex. Sorry, I had to put that in there, but thank you. It was a great line. All right, superb. All right, we're ready for our second reader, and that is Andrea Mbarashimana.
Hi, everyone. I was running in 2017, and the guy that came in to talk with was Russell Berry. And unfortunately, he was not in the book. I don't think he'd get hold of him. And we swapped with Kieran and that. And I just got out of hospital, so it was really weird. And everyone just took such good care of me. And I guess my standout memory was watching everyone else go skinny dipping in the sea. It was a laugh, but anyway. This poem is called Gisozi. Yesterday's heron shrieked the end of sleep right through my skull. All spiny barbs waiting to soften into feathers. A house girl making breakfast. Noses blow dust. Taste tanged with eucalyptus. We count mosquito bites. Eat bread that's toasted on the plate while we wait. The fizz of welding across the street is stopped. Strange birds hide in the copse where the brick man stacks his bricks, among trees that count their lifespan in dawn choruses. A tiny lizard escapes from my daughter's shoe, and rhythmic church song hypnotizes a congregation down the street. We rise through air like soup using the shortcut. There's a breeze up here that bends the trees to gossip. Down across the waste ground, turn right, past the battle of the bandwidths, past the data shack, the track stops, chez Venant, a mansion built on helping couples with their sex lives. When we get back from the bar, brochettes and consequences, he's still making bricks, throwing the clay, patting it into the same mold, stacking them up. Later, when it rains, the whole tower vanishes.
Superb stuff. Thanks so much, Andrea. It's a gorgeous poem. It's mesmeric, and you read it so beautifully. Thank you very much for that. And it's great to see you again. Yeah, I don't remember you skinny dipping, definitely.
I wasn't allowed. Doctor's orders.
Do I remember a couple of band guardi on the beach complaining about... the vanguard here, a vanguard here is a female police officer.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that what happens?
I don't remember that. You must have been skinny dipping a few times before. That was another time.
I might be mixing it up. Anyway, thanks for the memory, Andrea. Okay, next we have our, from Cork, Benjamin Burns. Oh, no, do we have Isar Gassan? We do. Sorry, Ben, I have jumped the gun. I didn't see Aesar join, but I see that he's here. Are you here, Aesar?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. How are you?
Hi, good to see you. How are you?
Oh, good to see you too. First time we've met. I mean, we've swapped a lot of emails and that kind of thing, but first time we've met, so lovely to see you, and lovely to see everybody else too.
Likewise.
I was lucky enough to go on the exchange with Rafe in 2019. So I guess it was the last time it was a face-to-face exchange. But probably, hopefully not the last time ever, a face-to-face exchange. And my memories of Cork and Clonakilty, it was a really wonderful time. And it was lovely to obviously meet. Well, it was the second time, I think, second or third time I met Stan, because he'd been over a couple of years before on the exchange, the second time I met Stan. And obviously meeting Ben and Shauna, and it was a really lovely time. So it was lovely. It was just a great thing to be able to do. And the weather was pretty good. And I especially enjoyed going to Clonakilty. It was a beautiful, beautiful place. So I hope we will get a chance to come and see you guys again. I think Andrea was trying to organise some kind of bigger visit before the pandemic hit. So hopefully, you know, all being well, next time next summer we can come see you. That'd be lovely. And thanks for kind of getting the anthology together, and for, you know, it's great. Thank you. I'm going to do. I've got it out here, but my laptop is sort of slightly disorganized, which is unlike me. But I'm going to do the poem, read the poem that's in the anthology, and it's called In Plain Sight. Okay. The supermarket with which I have earned most loyalty points is sincerely committed to reducing its reliance on plastic packaging. sources locally where possible, limits the import of food from overseas on fuel-guzzling airplanes, preferring to use more sustainable road or rail, provides easy-to-follow practical tips on how to minimise waste, celebrates accreditation from a host of internationally respected not-for-profits with swirly come-together-over-me logos, has a dozen or so 7-foot-tall, mile-long refrigerators, none of which have doors, keeping meat, fruit, dairy, sushi, veg, and ready meals perfectly chilled 24/7, 365 in hundreds of its largest stores nationwide. Thank you.
Superb. Thank you. Thanks, Cesar. And yes, great to meet you face to face. Hopefully we'll be able to remedy, all that before too long, and we'll be able to physically see you face to face before too long.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting the evening tonight.
Thanks, Cesar. Thank you. Okay, so we now move on to Benjamin Burns. Are you ready, Ben?
Hi, hello. I went to Coventry in 2019 as well with Shauna, and we had a wonderful time and got lovely tours of the city with Acer and with Rafe, and just had nice relaxed drinks and walked around looking at the art galleries, and it was really nice. When I was in Coventry, I was performing as my pop star character, so this in the book is a small pop star poem that I wrote around the time. It's called Fortune. Famous when dead, that's the dream. How sad to waste one's life on self-promotion. And if fame never comes, who cares? You're dead. There will be Robins and their descendants. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. That's great. Great to see your alter ego come out again. Haven't seen him in a while. Brilliant stuff. Maybe the shortest poem in the book. I think it is. How bad. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to, it should be Kieran, but Kieran's not in the house yet. I know he needs to read late, so we'll skip Kieran for now and move on to.
I'm actually here, Paul, if you want me to read.
You're there, Kieran.
I made it back to the house.
Good stuff. Yeah, please take over. You're very welcome.
Right on. Yeah, I was out playing football, but I made it back. So great to see you all. I went over to Coventry with Stan Knott in 2017. And it was Andrea and Russ and Rafe and all the team were looking after us, and yeah, we had a great time. It was really, really nice. It was a really special time, very fun memories had over there. It was really fun when Andrea and Ross came to Cork. We had a really nice time, and then I just remember going to Coventry and just really enjoying the whole weekend and having a lot of really rich experiences, found out a lot about the city that I had no idea of before I got there and things like that. And yeah, we had a really nourishing time and a really warm welcome, you know. So it was a real treat. I think the standout memory was meeting the Lord Mayor at the time. It was Tony Skipper, absolute legend. Just had very, very, very funny chat with him. We were kind of laughing about it for a long time afterwards. So yeah, it's got to be one of the standout memories. But there were many memories, and it's a real honor to be published in this book next to you all, and a lot of great writers in it. And I'm having a real fun time making my way reading through it. So now I'm getting some live performances of it as well. So yeah, big ups to you all. And this is my contribution to the collection, to the anthology. It's called Circumspect. Go get your 4 hours in a shower and come talk to me about burning candles, depressed handles and creaking gates. It's basic, but it's complete in its own way. Let's face it, it's a feat how the shoe prints on paths play. No intention to deceive, just wanting to receive a clean image of what your thoughts say. Might text you back by Monday, I've had a slow Sunday, hope to explain it to you one day. Come talk to me about feng shui, we might connect, flexing on your inward breath. Stay cool and calm and circumspect when fools and shams come floundering. Listen in above the din, the pools in gaps are widening. The rules of math sound silly when the chosen paths are narrowing. Listen, the Pope's gone tarrowing. We have no answer to your sparrowing. We make the inside of a hollow ring for our faith in superstition, dropping subtle propositions. Here, hear me out, chicken. You'll have what you always want when you always have. Sounds so sad now. Seeing you like this, ought make me feel bad now. You always lived it, breathed it, dissected it to pieces, as rich in a fair deal dealt as Croesus in gold. In sickness and in health, we are growing old. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Take care of yourselves.
Fabulous. Thank you. Thanks a million, Kieran. We're certainly growing old. I keep on telling everyone the story of when you first came into a veil.
Yeah, good. Not today or yesterday now, Paul.
Not today. Am I not allowed to say it? Am I not?
Tell the story as long as you like, but I was saying it's not today or yesterday that I first stepped into a veil.
Very long time ago now, very long time. When Kieran first came into a veil, he was 17 years of age. So we didn't know this, of course, you know, and we're a functioning bar. He's not supposed to be in there unless he's 18, you know. He was in there really enjoying himself, you know. Next thing, the barman asked him, would he like something to drink? And he just panicked and ran away. We didn't see him again until his 18th birthday, but he hasn't stopped coming since. So that's one of my favorite Avail stories. Yep, we're definitely growing older together, Kieran. It's great to have you. Thanks for the poem. All right, okay. Let's move swiftly on. Connor McManus, are you here?
Yeah, Paul.
Hey, Connor. How are you?
How's it going? Good to see you.
Good to see you too. You're very welcome.
Thank you. Congrats on the book. Great stuff. Looks well. I was in Coventry with Matthew Geddon, and I forget when. I think maybe 2013 or 2014 or something. Brought two souvenirs back from there. One of them is a poem from Matthew himself, which you probably can't see it. It's written in pencil. And the other is a poem from Tim Sauden, the Lord Mayor of Coventry. He was a bit of a poet himself, it just turned out, as it happened. So they're two kind of nice souvenirs I have from there. Suffice to say, both of them are vulgar poems. Matthew's is probably the best one he's ever written, I'd say. I'm going to read my... it's a poem in three parts, or three poems, whichever way you want to put it. Love poems to Christina Ehen. I watched as you walked in. You were more beautiful than your portrait. I am love, you whispered. I am love. I am love. I am love, you whispered with your eyes. And together we sung harmonies unsung. You, a she fairy whispering with your eyes. And I, a wordsmith without a tongue. You left early to catch a red eye and hinted that you might return, but you left a memory scar, and all week long I played with sticks and leaves on your body. 2. Since you left, I dreamt of rats and fish and squadrons of spaceships in endless numbers, grey and suspended, moving slow and silent, eternally passing, and of you, stretched naked on a beach of damp cobbles beneath dark clouds, and I scrawling love with the mud-tipped stick on your body. 3. Word came that you were out, and like-minded souls joked about my obsession, but it hasn't faded. And you emerge once again to show me your ego, to show me deftness of pen. But I love you not for your poetry. What good is poetry to me? But for your form, and to listen to the alliteration of heart trembles when your name is mentioned, and my mind your portrait conjures. Fine-featured, silken, platinum doll, close-woven fabric of life without curse or stain. But I, how can I tell for sure from one fleeting glance? Shimmering, silken, lover of the moon. Thanks, bud.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Connor. I'm just wondering if the like-minded souls joking about your obsession, if I'd know any of them, would I?
You would. I
might have been one of them, yeah. Because of Christina Ehen. I don't know if any of you know her work. She's absolutely amazing. Estonian poet, perhaps, you know, one of their most famous poets. Her father, in fact, was the national poet for many, many years until he passed away. But she's a very fairy-like, kind of ethereal, very, very beautiful woman. And I remember at the Cork Spring Literary Festival, the poetry festival here once, Patrick Cotter asked me, would I mind taking Christina Ehen to lunch? Because, you know, she needs someone to take her over to the farm gate to not chaperone her, but just to accompany her, I suppose, you know? And when Connor heard this, he almost fell over backwards. But it's a fantastic love poem, Connor, and I really hope that she gets to read it at some point. You know, maybe we should. I'll give you a copy of the book to send over to her, maybe, will I?
I'll go into hiding.
All right, brilliant. Thanks a million, Connor.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, so next up, we on the reading list for this evening, and I'm delighted to see her. I haven't seen her for ages. Janet Smith. Hi, Jan. How are you?
Sorry, I'm really unslick about unmuting. I'm great, actually, and it's great to see you. And memory, I think it was 2013, and I came with Jane Stanton to Cork, and I'd never been to Cork before, and it was an absolutely brilliant trip. And Paul looked after us really, really well. Jane and I found a session. We both play the fiddle. We didn't dare play the fiddle, but the music was amazing. And I remember going to a stone circle, but the really standout memory was reading in Limerick in a pub in the White House. Is it the White House? Yeah. And at the after my reading, there was a break, and there was a guy in the back in the bar who wasn't part of the audience who came up to me and said, so I have a poem which has a line that goes, the M1 runs through Sheffield Steel. And he said, I was building that road and I really liked that poem. That's the best compliment I've ever had about poem. Okay, so I'm going to read this poem, which I don't think I had written when I went to Cork, but it's called 11 Was to Be Other. Learn Latin in a home-sewn skirt. Later jumper. One shade too dark for Shakespeare. Write lines by candlelight. The electric's off again. Feel guilty for 3 decades because the official school blazer cost 11 shillings and sixpence. Bear the weight of other girls' giggles. Fall in love with the only boy in scuffed up shoes. Hate blue eyeshadow. Wear it anyway, it's the easiest to steal from the Boots number 7 special display. Cut off all your hair, wear the high-necked purple satin party dress, buy some dungarees, slide easily into Northern Seoul.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous poem. Thanks a million, Janet. Yeah. Great to see you. Okay, so moving on, we have, is it tonight's five-word challenge winner? It is, Jim Quickard.
Thanks, Paul, and thanks for voting for me for the five words. So I went in 2020 with Molly Toomey, and of course, something happened, someone caught the flu from a bat or something like that. And I think we all know the rest after that. But I think we really made the most out of it, like online. We had a meeting with the Lord Mayor, and it was a woman, I forget her name, but she was telling us about like how she went to Cork and the B&B she was staying in, they had porridge. And Bailey's was poured into it. So she was saying you could cure your hangover and get started for the day as well. And it was just, I don't know, she was pretty funny. And as well, after the gigs, like online, we kind of hung out for a while afterwards. And yeah, I felt like we made some connections. And, you know, it was very similar to being at Ovale, like hanging out after and talking about writing and all sorts of things. And Lucas, there we are. So yeah, it was a really good time. I will just get on with my poem now. It's called Sex in the Housing Crisis. We are the generation of born again virgins. Headboards disturb housemates on shift work. Air traffic controllers should be included in the rent to coordinate times to get the ride. Landlords can afford to support our sex lives and change the carpets once in a while. We are the generation of born-again virgins. Like ships in the night, we work to survive, but we are no 30-year-old cargo boats anchored in the harbor, waiting for labor. We are red-hot speedboats with miles to go before we sleep, miles to go before we sleep. We are the generation of born-again virgins. Nothing kills the mood like mildew. HomeSense is built on the backs of millennials, fumigating probate houses converted into one-beds with constellations of mold, and half their salary paid to make out on an old couch facing a microwave. We are the generation of born-again virgins. If you're living with parents, you can forget it, unless you can face breaking their trust or condoms clogging the toilet drain. We must not forget about our parents' sex lives, afraid their carefully considered bed springs will be heard by their 30-somethings. So let's give the government hell for this intergenerational dry spell. Thank you.
That's a great poem, Jim. Absolutely. Let's give them hell. You did right. That's a superb poem. You might do Sex During the Pandemic, part of a series, you know?
2 feet distance, or no, 2 meter distance.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Next up, we have Julie Fields. And what's your own? Julie Akara?
Yep. Moment, shop. Hello. I'm coming to you from the northwest coast of Ireland. So the reception, phone reception isn't brilliant, but it's so lovely to see people and to kind of get that Coventry link. Again, that feeling is nice. I think I was there in 2015. I possibly have the year wrong. I was there with Rab. Lovely to get time to hang out with him. And it was my first kind of journey or trip as a poet. So it really consolidated my identity and my, I suppose, confidence in writing as a poet. So that was fantastic. Very grateful. One memory I just popped into my head a minute ago was one of the readings we did. I think it was in Liverpool, actually. We went up to Liverpool as well. But one of my poems got a nice reaction from a young fella. It's called Feminism. And it's about recognising the work and love we get from women in our lives. And after my reading, he came up to me and said, when I go home, I'm going to tell my mom I love her. So I said, my work is done here. So that's my memory. My poem in the book is called Dear Society. I'm a bit nervous. I haven't read it or performed in a very long time, and I'm not going to read it because I never read it in my life, so I'll see if I can remember it. Apologies, my computer's a bit noisy as well. So the poem involves a very posh, dodgy English accent. So we'll see how that goes, and it involves a glass of wine, so sworn you up. No society. I am a homo, homo sapien. I'm attracted to other homos, homo sapiens. I am a member of the LGBTQ+VWXYZ community, a group of people in society segregated by our sexuality. I am not queer, I am here, and I am me. And if my honesty offends your inability to accept that I'm free to love the essence of femininity, well, I do not apologize. For beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, and I will hold her. Her curves have been molded to fit the pieces of my life, society, which you have jigsawed apart. We fit together like art, but our love is no exhibition to be stared at. And if you are to say to me that God made man and woman to make child, well, I respect your right to be so black and white, but I am grey. I also pray that one day you may awake to see that black and white blends to make me. I am exhausted, society, from trying to suit you. My spine aches, contortionist pains from trying to fit into this closet, from which I emerge terrified, alone, back into my family home to sit my elders down and reveal to them what felt like bad news. And why should I, society, come crawling to you to accept me, when it is you who should come crawling an apology for building that closet and forcing me in it? In it? Why is it you accept men to hold guns, but not hands?
Swine to Agra, Fabulous, Julie. Thanks a million. It's great to hear that poem again. It's so much nicer watching you read it, though, because your whole body reads it. You know, you're a performer, you know, a real performer. So we're looking forward to seeing that happen again. Thank you. Okay, next up we have, I think, coming to us from Iceland, Kathy Darcy.
Hi.
Hey, Kathy.
Can you hear me?
We can indeed. How are you?
Hi, from Iceland. Forgive me, everyone, for hopping on and then straight off again. I'm autistic and I can't do meetings like this a lot of the time, but I'm really happy to be here. And I want to echo the thanks to Paul and Rafe and the Lord Mayor for organizing this. And to say as well, like, Ovil has been the organization that has helped me the most as a poet times a bazillion million. So just thank you for that, and thank you for everything you guys do. And also to point out that Bangardas are not Bangardas anymore. They are all Gardaí now, and we don't discriminate by gender in the Gardaí. Just an important point. So yeah, I'm in Iceland, but I wanted to let you guys know I haven't forgotten Cork, so I just want to show you my Beamish and my Barry's tea. I hope you guys will bear with me. I still love Cork. Cork is still the best independent republic in the world. I don't remember when I went to Coventry. It was a long time ago. I think it was one of the first. I remember that Cal Doyle was there. And the thing I remember the most about it was touring the old cathedral that had been left exactly as it had been left after the bombings. Just this beautiful kind of husk of stone. And inside it, this cross that somebody had made out of two blackened beams of wood. And you guys who know me will know that I'm not a fan of the cross. But what a monument to getting up again when it feels impossible to get up again. And I was glad to see it, and I'm glad to be remembering it now, to be honest. The poem I'm going to read is from a big long piece that I wrote to reimagine the origin story of Ireland, because I feel like I'm trying not to curse, but Ireland's origin story is very a pile of patriarchal bull crap. And I wanted to rewrite it so that there'd be more women's voices and women's experiences in it. So this poem is from the kind of emergence piece. But it has developed a new significance recently because myself and a bunch of other activists have united across Ireland to fight sexual harassment and abuses of power in the Irish arts. And we're called Safe Arts of Ireland. If you guys want to get involved, that's my political rant for the evening. Here's the poem. On becoming mud. soft, sticky matter resulting from the mixing of earth and water, information or allegations regarded as scandalous. What is eaten emerges at length on the surface, becomes a creeping softness, a flaking away where sea meets land, a place that is neither, endlessly eaten, crunched and spat out again, no man's land, there nor not. With each swallow, I am softer, take form in the slow sink gulp of a lugworm's hole, as a thing neither water nor land, neither formed nor not, taking sometimes the form that surrounds me. Lying for a while on the surface, you take the form of what surrounds you, having form or not, taking sometimes what is neither water nor land, nor either the slow sink gulp of a lugworm's hole. With each swallow you are softer, take form in no man's land, neither there nor not, endlessly eaten, crunched and spat out again, where sea meets land, a place that is neither, a creeping softness, a flaking away. The surface becomes what is eaten, emerges at last. Thank you.
Fantastic. And thank you, Cathy. It's great to see you. And I hope all is well in Iceland. And we hope to see more of you. And thanks a million for that. Okay, we've just got three readers left in the main section this evening. And then we'll move on to the open mic. And next, I'm looking very forward to hearing from Martin Brown, who I haven't seen in years as well. Hey, Martin.
Hi there, Paul. Great to see you again. Yeah,
likewise.
I looked on the website. It was 2013 when I came over with Sarah James and Tom Wire. And you say favourite memories. Well, it's just unbelievable. There was so much packed in. Do you remember trespassing on the golf course for the rich people in Kinsale?
Oh, you're not supposed to say that, Martin. Of course I do. I know. We pulled a bit of a stunt. We phoned up the restaurant, wasn't it? We said, yeah. We'd like to come and look at your menu. And they led us through the gate to go and see their menu. But we only had a drink. We didn't eat. And then we got to roam around. There's some ancient structures on the head of Kinsale that we were exploring anyway. It's a good memory. Thanks, Martin.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much. And the Hayloft and White House, Great Poetry Nights, and Loch Gur, Spike Island, yeah. I looked on the website. It's all there in my 57 lines of doggerel. That jogged my memory. So if people want to know what you're doing, look at that. Yeah, it was a great time. There's still fond memories. Thanks a lot. Anyway, here's the poem that's in the book, I think. The old people in the trees. And I have a feeling I'll be joining them one of these days. But here goes. I see one, shouts my son excitedly. And me, joins in his little sister. My eyes, no longer so sharp, keep to the road. We're in that part of the country where old people climb trees. No one knows why, least of all them. If they even recall what they've done, it's with puzzled wistfulness rather than reasoned recollection. The authorities gave up on prevention long ago, preferring now to market the phenomena as a unique tourist attraction. Falls or injuries are rare. People appreciate their limits, choosing smaller trees or lower branches. We're always ones with a decent outlook. Younger people used to grin before admiring, then wondering if they will ever join them. The guidebook tells us that it's usually the over 70s that latent agilities or ladders assist each climber, and that people generally descend unscathed after an hour or two, as if nothing had happened. In the evening, we go for a walk in the woods. The children spot several old climbers, try to speak to them. Why are you up there? My son demands of one smartly dressed old gentleman, who glances down, then shrugs, before resuming his gaze outwards, as if being summoned by his own private skyline.
Thank you, Martin. And great to hear from you.
Yeah, no, great to be here. Thanks.
Okay, we've just got two readers left now from the book for this evening. And remember that the second part of the launch is on Thursday week, hosted by Here Comes Everyone and Rafe Boylan, who is our next reader this evening. Funnily, I've pretty much met all of the Coventry poets in the book, except for Asar and Rafe, who came over 2 years ago when a number of us were over in a festival in Galicia. And I think we're possibly all here this evening who were at that festival, but it just couldn't be avoided. I mean, if you were invited to a festival in Galicia, you couldn't really say no, but we were upset to have missed meeting you in person, but it is great to see you both here this evening. I just want to thank Rafe again personally for all his great work on the Coventry side. You know, it takes quite a bit of back and forth to keep this going every year, and there's no better man than Rafe Boylan, so please welcome Rafe.
Cheers for that, Paul. Yeah, I was going to say the same about you. Yeah, it's a shame that we've never met, but I feel like we have, because we've done that much talking back and forth about trying to organise it every year, and definitely for this. And yeah, you've definitely carried this project. I did a bit, but it was mostly you. That's why it looks so good and why it is so good. So thanks so much for helping us actually make it a reality. So yeah, I came over in 2019. Like Martin said, there's so much packed in that the whole thing is like an amazing memory to me. It was the best trip. One of the best trips I've ever been on. But for me, I hadn't been abroad in about 15 years. So it was like the first time I'd gone anywhere. And then I was like, oh, this turned out okay. I really like this. I'll be doing some more of this next year. But obviously next year was 2020, and now we're in 2021. And there's not been a lot of traveling abroad. So I haven't built on my skills yet, but I'm hoping to one day. I think the weirdest memory is like when I told people I was coming over to Cork in Ireland, everyone said, oh, you've got to go to the English market when you go there. And I was, I'm going to Ireland. Why are you telling me to go to an English market? And I deliberately didn't Google it because I thought if they take us to it, I'll be surprised. I'll find out what it is. But yeah, it was really nice. And it wasn't what I thought. I was very, very confused. But definitely an Irish thing, but yeah, nice. Yeah, big thank you to Ben and Shona and Stanley who looked after us when we came over. It was great time. So I'll read my thing. Really boringly, I actually wrote my poem about Cork. So it's called First Visit to Cork. Imagine a soundtrack of poetry. Friendly, cheer up, crossing lights, cheer up to pedestrians, traffic, each other, through the cheer up night, like equipment supporting life. Warm introductions, the crack as Tullamore dew meets ice, meets coffee, meets lips, poetry. My foreign feet that beat the street a little faster, livelier, powered by buskers' multicultural concerts on every walkway corner. Poetry. The most talented of talkers, a people unafraid of passion, politics, laughter, literature, poetry. Rhythmic swigs of the Beamish, the Murphys, river flow conducted, tacit ghosts of boats, the merchant ships of Ireland's Venice, glide down residential roads. Poetry. Mild affront, cacophony, as clumsy Englishman orders a Guinness, bashful sips, comedic quips, clink of glasses, poetry. A whole city brimming with potential, with poetry, poetry, poetry. Did I mention the poetry? It bridges nations, arcs across the Irish Sea, an enduring chorus. The twin voices of two cities intertwined. Every year, turning up, tuning up. Words. Cheers.
That's magic. Thank you, Rafe. That's a fantastic poem. And it's a great tribute actually to the exchange. You know, that's one we might try and do something more with, maybe, because it really, really speaks to the relationship. So yeah, thank you. Thanks, Rafe. Okay, so we have I see this. There are people dancing in the background of certain guests. That's great. All very entertaining, Jules. So don't worry about it. Okay, so we have one reader left for this evening, Shauna Lee Lynch. Hey, Shauna.
Hello. I'm delighted to be included in this book because it's a really great project, the Twin City Exchange. going to Coventry was class. There was loads of really great things. Ace there and Rafe were brilliant tour guides and brought us around. We got to go to radio stations, and the readings themselves were brilliant. My favourite thing was probably the reading in the big comfy bookshop. It's a really lovely bookshop with the secondhand books, and it just feels so cosy in there. And the readings were in there, and it was a great experience. And also we saw squirrels that I talk about a lot, because they ate nuts out of Ben's hand. And that was a great sight to see. Yeah, so the poem that I'm going to read is called Meditation. And I wrote it last year because I got into an astronomy during the pandemic. And it's kind of about that. Sometimes I sit real still, close my eyes and see galaxies within. On each breath, the planets rotate as I float through the cosmos in a meditative state. Body fills with stars, luminous spirals sparkle through my veins, merging with the Milky Way I sway through constellations. Detached from the mundane, I escape in space and gain perspective. I am a pulse in an infinite universe, a part of something bigger. But then the doorbell rings. I return to Earth and hide from the TV license inspector.
That is great. Thank you, Shauna. Actually, that's the shortest poem I know of yours. I know all the others were actually too long to go into the book. I was delighted that you had that one, you know. But, you know, when I think of you and Coventry, what immediately comes to mind is that you were going to come back to Cork, and then you were told, you need to go to Dublin to perform in the All-Ireland Poetry Slam competition. And so you diverted your flight, landed in Dublin, went straight to the competition and won and became the All-Ireland Slam champion.
And I think performing in Coventry had a lot to do with that. Like the two nights before, it was like a great experience. The great, got any nerves I had out or whatever. Yeah. And I was weak for myself then flying in from another gig going to the slam. So I can attribute a lot to the experience.
That's great. And that's just such a great story. And you're still the reigning Irish slam champion, because we haven't had any slams in the last 2 years. So, well, good for you. The longest ever reigning slam champion of Ireland. So congrats on that. So listen, thank you everyone who read this evening. I'm really getting more and more in love with this book, actually, the more I, especially being able to hear you read the poems, and for your voices to come back, and to me to rediscover the rhythms and uniquenesses of all your own poetries. So it's really a treat for me, I must say. So thank you very much for being involved. And just once again, thank you to the Lord Mayor for launching this book. That's an absolute treat as well. So just to say that you can look back at the history of the different exchanges. Like on each occasion, the poets involved wrote reviews of their experiences and took photos, and we compiled all those into a history of exchanges on our website. I've just posted the link there. Twin Cities Exchanges. It's one of the pages on our website. So if you ever want to revisit that, it's a really good read. There's loads of MP3s and poems, and it's a real mix of multimedia poetry and experiences from both sides. So it's just great that we have a record of that. And I think in a way it's done us good to have this little break from a physical exchange, because without it, we wouldn't really have had the opportunity to put this book together and to really consolidate all that we've done in the last 14 years. So it's kind of, been a bit of a silver lining, really, this book. So it's well and truly launched now anyway, and we're really looking forward to part two which Rafe will be hosting in about 10 days' time from now. So whoever can make that, please do. And we'll be sending out the link on Wednesday, I think this week, to that.